It is Friday, the 11th of October, and this is episode 185 of Digital Outbox. Trouble speaking again. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Christopher.
Can you help me out with my lack of speech today, please?
I don't know, because I have been incredibly flat all week, but for some reason, seeing your boy's good looks tonight has cheered me up.
Goodness me.
Well, you mentioned Operation U-Tree, and it's just got me in that kind of mood. <it's... laughs>
Beautiful. How to start a podcast. Right, that's news for this week then. Adobe. They've been the latest in the long run of people getting hacked and slashed by hackers, basically. Hackers got in, took 2.9 million customer records, including some credit card numbers, which were encrypted, apparently, but also source code, so of their creative products. So that's quite serious for them. They are letting everyone know. They're kind of reacting as you'd expect a big company to react. I don't know what you thought of some of their measures they've taken.
I thought it was pants. So the reason I thought it was pants, when did we do the podcast last week? Thursday. I think this just came out on Thursday evening, just after we'd finished. And I was like, oh,
not again.
And then I didn't get any emails, and they were saying they were issuing it. And then yesterday morning, I got an email. I was like,
as did I.
Why a week later? You know,
and so it was a week down the line. Plus, the actual attack apparently happened a while back now. We're not talking.
Yes. And
they said recently or very recent. But
they
actually
said recent, but then there's reports that it was actually late July or mid-August. So,
but whether they probably didn't know about it back then. That's probably more the point.
Yep. So, and I guess that's it. And there was lots of rumors swirling around that they weren't the only one. There was a few other big tech companies had been hacked and they were about to announce, but we've had nothing since. So I don't know if that was just cobblers. Slightly disappointing. And also people were saying that they didn't receive an email, but like the bank accounts were being hacked. But it was all, I think it's easy to put
that's
two
all
and two together.
That's all the sound of hearsay.
It's easy to put two and two together and make five.
So basically Adobe have been working with payment processing people, the banks, and with a sort of card protection company, and they're going to be offering people if they, I guess signing them up to a service of some sort.
Yeah.
You look after and sort of fraud monitor and stuff like that.
It's like they looked at what Sony took about 4 months to do and said, let's do that now.
Let's just do it. So in that respect, they have at least reacted. But again, it's very disappointing that's happened. Again, they've said that, you know, credit card numbers were encrypted and they don't think they've been taken. But then again, there's sort of a bit to and froing on that. So we don't really know what's going on.
I think the bigger issue is the potentially the source code. If you think of the amount of zero-day exploits that are out there just now, and I know predominantly a lot of them are Microsoft-based, there's Java ones, but I mean, Acrobat has quite a few.
A lot of people do download Adobe products from, torrent sites and whatever, wherever bins and stuff like that. And as soon as the source code's been released, it means that there's free reign to inject Trojans in there, where left, right, and center if they want to.
The fact that PDF is such a universal format now, it is one of these formats that everybody kind of knows and trusts. So it's kind of worrying that.
Someone could be working out how to get around things. How serious that is. They're saying it's not posed any particular threat at the moment. But of course it won't do until something gets released based off the back of it. So anyway, there we go. And I did go and check on several sites, and it's definitely Adobe, not Adobe.
Oh, do I usually say Adobe? Mm. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, and I've double checked it for you. You were wrong. Is that nice of me? Good.
There's nothing like being put down at the start of a podcast.
Especially by someone who can't talk.
And I guess it's maybe just... So 1Password 4 came out, was at the tail end of last week as well. So I saw a few tweets from people saying, I'm going to have to reset a whole load of passwords now. Thanks, Adobe.
And doing the normal recommendation of saying there's no sign that they're going to get into your account, but if you've got other accounts using the same password, please change them as well.
But no, all they're saying is if you've used that password elsewhere, and I saw a few tweets from people, so one password, last pass, whatever you want to use, and generate some unique passwords.
Yeah, and I think if you're someone who knows about technology and you're saying, well, I've got to go and reset all my passwords now, that means that you are not using a proper password etiquette anyway, really, are you? So,
oh, just turning me like a pair of old Tories.
Yeah. I know. So it's your own fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have your data stolen. It's your own fault.
Yeah.
Twitter IPO. So they're hoping to raise $1 billion, sorry, in a public share sale. This is all for a company that made a loss 2 years ago and made a loss last year and will make a loss this year.
Yes.
They're expected to be worth $1 billion.
It's mental.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a big turnaround. If they really do think that they're going to be, or all these shareholders believe that they're worth that much money, they're going to have to find out how to earn money. I think the problem is with all these big firms, all these big internet firms, people know there's something about it that's really exciting and worthwhile, but no one knows how to turn that something exciting into money.
And the monetize seems to just be adverts. So Instagram have already said, like, next month in America, you're going to get adverts.
Yeah, but as soon as something like Twitter whacks in $1 billion worth of adverts into their stream, it's not the service that everyone loved anymore.
No,
it's now an advertising stream.
No.
That people don't have the same connection with that. So they're bubble is all I'll say.
Yeah,
bubble.
I never really see the promoted tweets because I don't use their website. I don't use their own clients. I'm using, you know, third party clients. But it's only a matter of time before they say you want to be a third party client.
The stream is the stream. Yeah.
Yep. You must insert these ads.
And you know, and we've seen that they're becoming more hardline on what the service is and the fact that the service is their service. It's not about these other third party apps that have made this, you know, had inroads into what it is. So they are becoming RC and they're becoming advertising driven for this very reason. Someone wants to make some money. NSA and GCHQ. So Tor network, I think we've talked about the Tor and the Onion router network before, which is a way to anonymize yourself when you're going around the web, basically. And the National Security Agency, some of the leaks that we've had from Snowden sort of prove that the actual Tor network itself is pretty secure.
I think
that's the takeaway.
Yep, which is quite, and I guess there was lots of kind of predictions that, well, they fund 60% of it, so there's definitely a backdoor in there, because it was kind of US government funded. But it does look like one of the slides was called Tor Stinks.
Yes.
And it was just about how frustrating it is when people are using you know, Tor to make their browsing and their downloading anonymous.
So as it turns out, so they've used an occasional browser, you know, security flaw to sort of attack, get into someone's computer and therefore monitor it, but never based on an actual request for information on a particular individual. So they've never ever been able to track down a particular individual. They've only clearly the implication of that is that they've just hacked into some random person's computer and just, you know, but the idea is that they'll never be able to use Tor to just do a wide ranging monitoring exercise, basically.
I must admit, I've never used it. I've never really felt the need to try and use it.
I think journalists and people in China, if you're in China, you probably would have felt the need to use it.
Yeah. You know. And if you want to use Silk Road.
Yeah. And actually, maybe even, you know, now that we've got proof that our governments are all trying to listen and, you know, monitor everything, maybe we should all start using it, you know. Anyway, so there we go. Looks like Tor is still relatively secure if you need to anonymize your browsing. Don't want to go down Silk Road anymore.
No. And I was actually going to make some really kind of sick, terrible jokes, but let's not go there.
We've already lowered the tone twice. Let's not do it a third time.
Thanks, Chris.
That's all right. Google, this is a relatively recent announcement. They're going to use your likes and your plus ones, or sorry, plus ones and your own face and recommendations in adverts shown to your friends and followers.
It's the one thing I hate in Facebook when I see that. When I see like somebody like Shaq Rivings, Coke. Yeah, thanks, Shaq. So yeah, this just came out tonight. So they've changed their terms of service. So this is a kind of big update to their terms of service, and I guess this is the thing that they're looking to compete with Facebook adverts. And this is Google's own words. We want to give you and your friends and connections the most useful information, recommendations from people you know you can really help. So your friends, family, and others may see your profile name and photo and content, like the reviews you share, the ads you plus one.
So basically, if you go to a restaurant in Glasgow and you go, right, it's worth a plus one, and I turn up in Glasgow, it'll say, hey, Ian, it'll show your ugly mug, and it'll say, yeah, Ian went to this restaurant and he really liked it. Look, he plus one'd it and gave it a good review. And you know, fundamentally, I think that's the way that the internet's going, so, you know.
Yeah, but and again, I know it'll never happen, but see, for the ones that I actually review badly, can you see my photo in that and it say, Chris, don't go here?
Well, probably not, because I don't suppose the advertisers want to pay for that.
No.
So maybe it'll be negative adverts on that, basically.
Yeah, there's a way to opt out. So you can kind of.
But it comes with warnings. Oh, yeah. Please don't do that. Your friends and family won't get to hear what you've got to say. Yeah.
And it's just Google's. This is how they make a lot of their money. And it's back to your point about Twitter and funding. We've still not really got away from that. A lot of people won't pay for a service. So the only way the companies can monetize is adverts and using your data.
Only being used for your friends and family, according to them. So it's kind of the stuff that you share with people. Like if you're happy to click plus one, which will go out into your profile stream, effectively that whoever owns that plus one can resubmit it basically to your profile stream. Again, it's not going any wider than that. And I guess it's just the way of things, you know, way things are going to go. And actually, it might make things more relevant. You never know.
Maybe.
It feels dirty, but I think we're just going to get used to that, to be honest.
I just think when you plus one something, you're saying, yeah, I like this, but then you're not saying, by the way, put my face on an advert so my friends can see it.
But it's the same with like. Actually, what you're doing is giving that the owner of that content your details, effectively.
Yeah.
You're saying there's a link there. So anyway. Raspberry Pi, a success. They've sold about a million, or sorry, they've sold the millionth Raspberry Pi computer in the UK. From the UK production.
So they've built a million in the UK. They've actually sold almost 2 million. 1.75 million have sold.
Of course, they went to the later model of it, didn't they?
Yeah. And this is, I'm actually amazed. I'm amazed at the amount of people that I know that actually picked one up and did little side projects with it, or, you know, I must admit, the amount of people I know that are streaming illegal content with it, but it's you know, it's 30 quid, but by the time you bought the, I couldn't believe, Wi-Fi, if you want to buy Wi-Fi, and there's like sites online that tell you what you're going to buy, it was like 6 quid from Amazon, this little Wi-Fi chip that you add in, you could add in this, add in that, so I think your total spend was about 60 quid, and you had a little streaming computer that was fantastic. And also there's obviously, remember Henry did his famous, I can open my garage.
I can phone my garage door.
So it's actually really good to see, because, I mean, to sell a million in the UK, because it came quite late to the UK. You know, manufacturing-wise, it wasn't like there from day one.
No, and it's sort of has sparked the imagination, basically, you know, amazing. And it's not just all, in fact, quite a lot of it's not school kids. I know that lots went to schools or whatever, but actually it's hobbyists that have seemed to be really absolutely taking it on board. There we go. Good for them. BBC plans to get the nation coding. What's that all about?
I don't know. all they've said is that in 2015 there'll be a major initiative, almost like the year of coding.
You saying that you don't know just it's not yeah. doesn't just that you don't know about the story, it just genuinely means they haven't really announced anything. They've just said they want to do it.
No, it basically means I've not read about it.
It's along the same lines of the fact that they put all the BBC micros in people's schools. Yeah, they want to reinitialize that because they see there's a big gap now between, well, it's basically falling off the curriculum, but the interest in it is growing at sort of the higher education levels.
And also, I think industry are saying that they're starting to become a shortage again, as it's starting to, you know, the kind of, for companies in the UK to compete with the kind of global powers, we are starting to fall behind. So computer science, etc. I think they're saying the skills are starting to be lacking. And I don't know if that's a sign of, because we're moving into tablets, because we've got less of the you know, people actually hacking around with keyboards and writing stuff, because tablets are great, but it's still mostly consuming for all the people that say, yeah, I can create lots of things on it, but you're not actually coding on it. You're not actually doing
it's probably the sign of layers upon layers upon layers. You know, programming used to be assembly, and then it went into these nice sort of nice tidy programming language, and nowadays it's all about mashups. But mashups are so far up the levels. You know, you're using APIs to do other things. So the actual getting back down to the programming level, if there's no one starting new things down there, then nothing ever bubbles up, if you like. So, you know, you need someone to have implemented all the API stuff before you can start mashing and doing stuff with that.
So they're giving themselves like almost, you know, at least a year. It's in 2015, partnered with government educators, technology companies, and a range of tools will be made available to give people the skills to solve problems, tell stories, and build new business in the digital world.
There you go.
Well done, BBC.
They've been chucking out a whole ton of other announcements, though, as well, this week. Started with iPlayer.
Your favourite online
love
service.
Love iPlayer, yeah. And they're going to enhance it. They're going to give it new new features and extend life of programmes and things like that. So essentially, they're trying to, you know, play with event-driven TV stations, basically, and things like that. So actually pop up new online stations rather than just having, you know, BBC Four, they'd have BBC Glastonbury Music Festival, whatever, and have the programming, you know, on the an actual TV show, if you like, but purely online, so they don't have all the terrestrial sort of or Sky elements of it.
Yeah, so I think what the day before the kind of big announcement, they did say they're going to have a Radio 1 TV, and so all your live sessions and interviews and festivals and videos.
Yeah, if you follow Radio 1 now, you'll see that more and more of their content they are shoving on there. Yeah, it's videoed and put online, so. Yeah. Just making it into a TV show sounds, you know, it's a logical step, if you like.
Yep, and what they're talking about is like dedicated channels, which is, you were saying, you know, so like an arts channel or a science channel. So trying to pull together a lot of content that they've already got and say, actually, this is a really interesting channel. You know, if you look at Discovery, you think of Discovery and what it shows, BBC have got, you know...
Well, a lot of the stuff that goes on Discovery, yeah. Already, you know, all the things, it comes from BBC to start with, so...
Yep, and they're also talking about... And it kind of made me think, remember Channel 4 created a, I'm trying to remember what they called it, was it 24/7 they called it? There was there was a new channel they launched this year, and it was based on, they would look at what's popular on Channel 4 and then E4 and say, well, here's what's popular. Yeah. And it was all based on Facebook likes and Twitter, and they would try and the next day show it again.
Yeah.
And I think this is the kind of, what BBC are talking about is that you can create your own channel. So based on what you like, based on what you're interested in. So if you say you like, you know, comedies and soaps, I guess you'd get a EastEnders and...
So they're calling it your own evening schedule, basically. So yeah. You can say, right, yeah, it'll ping up suggestions based on what you've liked previously.
Yes.
And make you some TV to watch. Yeah, and say as players getting everywhere, well, you know, it sounds like a good sensible option.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Xbox One to appear next month and not have BBC iPlayer, just so we can start off your ongoing saga
ranting again.
And you mentioned as well, it's going to like 30 days for some of the content, you know. So rather than just getting 7, it's 30.
No, with a big, you know, caveat probably of it's only BBC content and only this, that, and the other. And so I'm sure there'll be many restrictions on that.
Still, it all sounded. Sounded really good. iPlayer is great.
Yeah, and so they're also adding the ability to sort of stop watching on one device and go and continue watching on another.
Right. Yep.
Which is a great feature. I mean, things like Netflix. I'm into Netflix at the moment, and you know, it's brilliant to be able to just watch it somewhere, leave it, and come back to it, and know that wherever you pick up from, it just feels like it should do. You know, it just does what you expect.
And that's what I liked about the podcast recommendations I had like 3-4 weeks ago. You know, that way of, I've finished and my iPhone's what I'm listening to when I'm jogging. But as soon as I come back in, I'm sitting at the desktop and I can just continue. I don't need syncing cables.
And it makes
cables.
Such a big difference. It's you don't feel under pressure to finish the whole thing in one go, because you know that you're not going to miss anything. And you have to scramble around trying to scratch it and find out where it is.
Which makes it even worse that Twitter, that's worth $1 billion and making a loss, still won't sync bloody where I am on my timeline.
Where you are in the timeline. No, which is the biggest bummer on Twitter, you know.
Anyway.
Really horrible, yeah. They've also talked about, BBC have talked about Playlister. So this is effectively a way of being able to listen to your radio stations and then say, oh, I like that, And then it will automatically generate for you a playlist based on the things that you said you liked. And then you can import those playlists into, say, YouTube or Spotify, or I think Deezer was the other one they said. And then listen back to those songs.
And that's actually launched. So they announced this on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I think the beta came out the day after. And it got lots of good press. Seemingly it's actually quite... It's early days. I've not got all the services plugged in. And I've not had a chance to try it. Yeah, pretty busy week.
I don't listen to enough radio, so...
I guess I do, but it's like when I'm listening to it in the car, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to, how do I easily, you know, say, oh, you know what I mean? And that'll be nice. See, I guess at some point in the future, when you'll be able just to like say and talk, you know, and just like favorite that.
BBC like.
Yeah. You know, but that's what you want to do. You know, it's like that track, you know, and then when you come home, it's in there already, or it's pre-bought, or it's in, you know, Spotify, so you can just continue listening.
Yeah, and as they say, it's so easy to listen to a track on the radio and then not either catch who it was or not know who it was, or just, you know, forget. Excuse me. So yeah.
And for all the Shazam type services out there, I still think it's a pile of poo.
I mean, it's a bit, because again, it's the problem with apps. You have to find the app, go into the app, press a button, wait for it, and it still doesn't, you know, still not good. Live events. So this is, I think we sort of really touched on this.
Extending Glastonbury. So Glastonbury was a massive hit. Olympics was a massive hit. And they're seeing obviously that people are, you know, it's getting the tools out there and getting out the kind of more interactive services round about these events.
And that's what they're getting at, really, is the fact that they want to be a bit like, what's that software that you can tweet everyone that got big? So you sort of had it when you're watching a TV show like The Apprentice. Yeah, I think that's it. Yes. So they're kind of talking about similar things here. So you can watch it on your computer, and around it you can have polls and you can have people, you know, liking or disliking as you're going along. It sounds terrible to me, but nevertheless, I think people are quite keen on it.
Certain events, it's like, I remember the Olympics opening for me was great because I loved it, but I loved, you know, sitting with Twitter alongside at the same time. There's other things like election night. I know I'm a kind of stat whore, but I like see having Twitter sitting there and it's all rolling by at the same time. It's like great.
Yeah, but then do you remember when they were doing the speeches, the leader speeches?
Oh, yeah,
The stupid, you know, the line that sort of gave you their popularity at the time.
Yeah.
And as soon as they said, you know, effectively, we will give you free money.
Yeah.
And the line shot up. And then as soon as they said, we will take some money away, the line shut down. And you think this is pointless reaction that actually it just shows how stupid people are, really. Sorry,
I can't.
That's why I dislike it.
No, I can't. I can't not think of the last election and think of stupid bigoted women.
Yeah. See, the line probably popped up in the air. That one. Yes.
For me, it was like she is, but
yeah. Yeah, there we go.
Never mind.
And the BBC Store, they've also announced this. Obviously, BBC are a commercial service abroad, but they're bringing the BBC Store to the UK, and this will enable you to. They haven't said what's going to happen, but effectively you'll be able to get a TV show and have it for life, whether that's a subscription service or whether you have to download it or whether, you know, you pay something and then you can download it through a service, whatever that's what they're saying. Of course, it's going to cause a bit of controversy when people say, well, my license fee pays for this already.
Is it? I don't know. I mean, currently...
People will.
No,
they just will.
As soon as Doctor Who finishes, they pop up and say, buy the Blu-ray and DVD Monday. And I don't... And in some ways, I don't see it any different from buy the Blu-ray and DVD or download it from the BBC Store on Monday. But the difference would be if they did a catch-up type service that said, see if you give us a tenner, I don't know, tenner a month or five a month, you can, you know, view all Doctor Who content forever.
I don't see anything particularly wrong with that either. I mean, you've got a choice then, haven't you? You know, you can watch it when we want you to see it, which is at the scheduled times, or you can look at all our back catalogue whenever you want. I mean, to be honest, I'd rather they just said you could view all our back catalogue for free, you know, through our service. But I think they have licensing restrictions put on them as well. So
they do. Because for some of the things announced, they've said that, it depends on getting regulatory approval. because although they can propose these things, as we saw with iPlayer, it took ages.
And they're not necessarily allowed to do it because of their dominant position.
Yeah, it took ages to get some things through with ITV and Sky and a few others saying, look at that, that's just them leveraging their their funding advantage. And obviously, current government isn't too impressed with BBC. So the announcements last week, there was very much a, we're here for you, we're your service, this is what we're all about. You know, we provide value. By the way, this is going to cost £100 million extra, so something's going to have to get cut. But
yeah, but nothing they've said in that list sounds, you know, truly groundbreaking. And it all sounds a bit vague for me at the moment. I mean, they clearly haven't worked everything out or quite worked out how they're going to do all these things. But it's good to see that they're still focusing on moving it forward, because at one point it sounded like they, you know, they weren't even going to be able to do that.
No, it all kind of was like promising and then paused. And it was like, oh, and then all the politics got in the way, all the kind of...
And as soon as all the politics got in the way, and you notice how things have just sort of slowed up with, you know, nothing's moved on in that big leap.
And this felt like almost like a little reboot, like, let's kick this, let's
get let's get this going again. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good thing to hear, so fingers crossed.
Yes.
Politics and politicians will keep their fingers ahead. They won't. A real big victory for ITV, Channel 4 and Channel 5. They will be watched less. Good for them. Well done. Well done. So basically, they've been fighting TV catch-up in the courts for ages now. TV catch-up is the service which basically streams all the terrestrial channels. So all the terrestrial channels we get across Freeview and also just the... In fact, we don't have an aerial service anymore, do we? So across all the Freeview, they stream them via their little application, and you watch it live, effectively. So it's like watching Channel 4 with all its adverts and everything that entails, but just watching it, say, on your iPad or on your phone if you happen to be somewhere. It's a good service. I wish ITV would, you know, just... Well, rather have a service that, you know, subscribe to the service where you can do it.
I remember first watching it, and it was like, why can't ITV do this? You know, it was like,
and the reason I stalled a bit is because they now do, don't they?
They now do, but at the time they didn't. You know, so when TV Catch Up first launched, they were providing a service that, and I guess this is where it got a bit grey. They're providing something that that some of these broadcasters weren't providing.
In fact, do ITV offer live TV? Actually, I'm just thinking that it is all catch up, isn't it?
I thought only it was a catch up.
Maybe I'm talking out of turn.
While you rant, I'll go and check.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, it's just for me. It's again, the stupid... I mean, this may make sense from the, you know, ITV's point of view or the broadcaster's point of view. From an end user's point of view, this makes absolutely no sense, because it's just you watching a screen, watching exactly the same adverts, exactly the same time as someone on your TV. So it's great being able to watch ITV or Channel 4 in the bath on my iPad.
I've just launched the ITV app, and it says subscribe to enjoy ITV Player Premium, which I didn't know about. Enjoy all your favourite catch-up programmes without the ads, plus more live TV channels.
So they are doing some things live. Anyway, so, yeah, it's just a ridiculous thing, and it just means that now I cannot watch ITV or Channel 4 or Channel 5 when I am in the bath.
So ITV, I can watch ITV 1 and 2 live, but if I want to watch ITV 3 and 4, I need to subscribe.
Right, okay. Well, whoop-de-doo, more money. So anyway, they've won their battle. The court agreed with them that they weren't allowed to do it. And they reckon that there's even the loophole that we've got in our law saying that our other terrestrial channels that aren't caught up by ITV 4 or 5 should be clamped down. So that might be the end of TV catch-up for good.
It does look the kind of death knells.
So yeah, great. So terrestrial TV, I could watch wherever I wanted. Now I can't. Brilliant. Well done.
Yeah, great.
Samsung Galaxy Round. So this is a big phone, but they've put a curve in it. This is their latest thing. So when it's lying on the desk, you can touch the side of it and it will rock.
But the curve was interesting. I don't know if you spotted this. So the glass curve was very subtle, but the back curve was more. And it actually... I think emphasized the curve more than it actually was. So it's a very subtle glass curvature on the screen.
Mm-hmm. But okay.
And the back curve was more.
But the, I mean, so it looked like it fits into your palm, and I guess that's one of the reasons they did it, because it sort of just fits in the palm of your hand in a curve. But like I said, that when it's on the desk and you rock it, it's sort of going to show your notifications.
And you know
kind
what?
Of press its edge.
I liked that.
Okay. For me, it just looked like it took too long. It looked like if you want to do that, surely when it rocks, it's got to do it straight away.
Maybe. But the video I saw, the guy was doing it really slowly. And a bit like iOS 7, a lot of these animations are animations that I think they'll speed it up over time, because it's getting slightly annoying waiting for something that's like not doing anything.
So that's their latest innovation, rounded or curved glass. And they say it's the first phone to do this, but I know my original Google Nexus had a curve, but it was curved the other way.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's because they're talking, because this is curved vertically. Rather than, I think it was horizontal, if you know what I mean. The Nexus had a very slight curve, didn't it?
It looked like they had been slightly bent in the lengthways, and this one is being slightly bent in the short end edge, basically.
Yeah. But as I said, when you saw the side on, it just looked like there's this little subtle curve and a far bigger one.
They've made a banana.
But actually, it actually seemed to pull it. It actually looked like it was more than it actually was. And it's all very Apple-y in the kind of... Think of the iPad and we see how thick it is, but they do that kind of curve up rather than a square, so you know you're holding this big box. Let's curve it up so it feels like it's thin in the hand. There's that water again, listeners.
And it's going to come in luxury brown.
Yeah, I did. So I went to get my case. I picked up a blue case for the iPhone, and Shaq had a blue case, and then I was like, I can't have blue. This looks homosexual, because it is a homosexual blue. It wasn't just like a... And
what's homosexual blue? So I looked that up on Google.
Yeah, basically you see a picture of Shaq holding his new iPhone. So I went in and I thought I'll get the brown one, and then I looked at it, I thought I can't get brown, so I've got I'm rocking the red. That's not homosexual at all.
Red looks quite good. It's brightened in your face
with my white iPhone 5e.
Yep.
Which we'll I know you're on. Going to either slag me off or ignore. Hopefully you will ignore.
Just ignore it. Asda are trialing a 3D printing service in some of their stores. And basically they're going to allow you to rock up and have something scanned. And that something scanned can be anything up to about a car size. And then next week you can go and pick up a miniaturized model of the thing that got scanned.
From 40 quid. I think this is brilliant. I want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to give you 40 quid.
Yeah.
I want to give Shaq 40 quid. We'll get yous going to Asda. We'll make mini yous and we'll see which one's bigger.
I'll talk to them and wear my platform shoes.
Settle it once and for all.
So they're, this is, you know, strange. So they reckon that a lot of people will just scan themselves and have little miniature models.
Absolutely. I want to do it.
Yeah. But they say they can, you know, scan bigger things, whatever you want, really. And it's not an instant service. It's a week later service. So you basically come back the week later and you can pick up your little model. I like it.
Selfridges launched something about a month or two ago, that you could do a similar thing, you know, and people were walking in and getting themselves done. Seemed like it's incredibly popular to get a little desk mini you.
I wonder how much of a novelty this is.
I don't know. I'm thinking I've got a 3D printer at work. Maybe I should investigate.
I'm just trying to think of who's going to be annoyed, like coat hanger manufacturers, but you're not going to buy a coat hanger at 40 quid. So.
No. No. It's...
If you got enough of a particular thing and put them all ready to scan in one big thing, you could make 150 of something in one scan. Anyway, there we go. So that's... coming trial start 15th of October, which is only a few days away. If anyone out there has done it, let us know.
I guess it depends, because if you look at the iPhone case, and I know you're not going to get a nice leathery case, but the 35 quid.
Like I say, can I scan this several thousand of these cases, please? Yeah, for 40 quid. You said it could be anything up to the size of a car, but I guess they're going to say it's got to be a continuous size thing.
I wonder if I could take an Xbox One, make a replica, stick it in a box and sell it on eBay.
And actually, they've got to shrink them down, haven't they, to the 8-inch model. So actually, you'd have to have a super-sized iPhone case.
Oh, you're right. That's a really good point. Yeah. We got that one.
We're scuppered.
Yeah.
Rockstar, they've apologised for all the GTA Online issues that they've had. Basically, I think we said last week it was completely fooked. It didn't work. You couldn't get on and you couldn't get in. They have over the week generally got things better, so you can now get onto the game. Still having massive issues. Players have had experience where they've lost characters, lost things they bought, lost cars and all sorts of things. And people are very upset about it all. But they reckon they've sorted it and they were going to be releasing a patch that should sort the rest of the issues out.
Yep. And the stimulus package. So basically, if you play GTA 5 online in October, you will get $500,000 in game. That is.
Yeah, I was going to say, just going to give everyone $500,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that much money. So this is an in-game cash. As people pointed out, there's plenty of restrictions in the game that stop you getting high-end. Even if you've got the cash, you still have to be at a certain level before you can get the really high-end stuff to try and keep balance. So really, that means not that great.
But still.
Final bit of water. For the final time, have you got a pick for us?
No, I'm tired.
Yeah, so am I. I'm going to go and eat a Caesar salad. So if you want to find out more about us, you can do digitaloutbox.com. If you go and scan yourself in Asda, please let us know. info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. My blog is academyracer.co.uk. Ian, where can we find you?
Hold on just 1 minute. Next weekend.
The big weekend.
Is the big weekend.
Championship deciding weekend.
Yep. So if you're a new listener, and hell mend you, where have you been for the last 184 episodes?
You've come in at a corker, 185. It's going to go, it's a classic.
The best bit is that you've said for the third time we're going to do some water, and I think I'm going to cut one of them out anyway. So just... But you are, it's your final race next week.
It is. So it's the championship decider. And I've now had it officially confirmed via the newsletter that I have to finish in the top three and I have to be ahead of Henry Heaton.
Oh, get in there.
Need the Dick Dastardly music there.
It's all right. I'm gonna get a big banner. I know I said I was gonna dress up as a cheese wedge, but I think I'm just gonna go, Henry, you suck. And this big banner. and see if that's like can put him. In fact, I know what I could do. I could buy one of those. I mean, if it can distract airline pilots, surely if I stand with a laser.
You're right. I couldn't possibly condone such action.
No, because surely that would make you the Dick Dastardly character.
Yes, and I think the fastest lap does come into account, but that's the basics of it. I've got to finish ahead of Henry. And
come on!
So yeah, all exciting. Next weekend at Silverstone. It's actually free to get in and they're doing Formula One demonstration runs as well. So if you want to come along to Silverstone, you're more than welcome.
And if you want to come along and meet the Digital Outbox team.
Yeah, as well. More than welcome.
Because allegedly.
It's free to get in.
And this sounds really bizarre. This sounds really creepy. This will be the first time I'll meet you in the flesh.
Yes.
Operation U-Tree. So yeah. And there's a few of us kind of meeting up, so it should be a... In fact, what did you call us all? CFCs.
Yep.
Cheesy fan club. So I'm looking forward to it. Might mean that next week's podcast might be a tad early.
Yes, because we've got to go.
Or we might just not bother doing one. We will decide midweek.
Yes, because I've actually got to be packing up ready to go Wednesday evening, because I'm up off early Thursday. So it might mean that there's not enough news. Depends what happens in the news, doesn't it?
Well, it depends on time, because I'm in sunny Portsmouth all day Tuesday.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
So I think we're but the week after is like Tablet Tuesday.
Tablet Tuesday.
Yeah, because there's, I think the Surfaces come out. I think Amazon are doing some stuff and it's Apple Announcement Day.
Ooh, so, there we go.
Bar.
Good stuff. So you never said your blog and your Twitter.
EanD.net for the best blog in Clevedon Road in Glasgow. And... Oh no, people are going to hunt me down like the dog I am. And my Twitter account is Shweepa, which nobody will find.
They won't, you're right. thank you very much. That is the end of the podcast. And we will speak to you, if not next week, the week following. Speak to you then. Goodbye.
Ta-da.